Everybody, coming up on Fire Moment, you definitely want to stay tuned. Pastor David Pettit from Shawmut Christian Services is back with us from Morgantown, West Virginia. We're continuing our discussion from last week. We're talking about the way we think, our thought patterns, affirmation, so much today, and it is going to bring healing. The Word of God has life, and there's power in it. And if we apply the Word, you are going to take some of your first steps to healing, being the person that God created you to be. So stay tuned for Fire Moment. You don't want to miss it.
From Uniontown, Pennsylvania, Pastor Adam Lawson of Fresh Fire Church brings you Fire Moments, taking the fire of God around the world.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Fire Moment. I'm Pastor Adam. Thanks for being here today with us. Always a blessing for you to invite us into your home, minister, and to bring the Word of God. And you're a blessing to us as we are to you. And we thank God for you taking the time to be a part of our lives and our ministry. See what's going on. Last week on the program, we had Pastor David Pettit with us from Shama Ministries, and he's back this week, and we're going to continue our discussion because it was really good and really ministering to the hearts and right where we are as people. As we talked, we know we all have issues. We all are messed up in some way, and when we just get right down and real to that, then we can really begin to bring repair and healing and wholeness into our life because God wants wholeness for you. And so today, Pastor David's back with us, and we're going to continue our discussion and get into the Word. There's help and hope for you today, so stay tuned and be a part of this program today. So welcome, Pastor David, to the program. Thanks for being back.
It's good to be back. Thank you.
Yes. God just really was speaking so much last week, but just before we pick up with that, I want to remind everybody that they can go to your website and get information about you and the ministry there in Morgantown, West Virginia. So tell them where to go to get the information, and even if you missed last week's program, I encourage you to go to our website and check out the archive so that you can kind of catch up where we are and you can get the fullness and the real benefit of what we're sharing today. But Pastor David, where can they go to find out more about you or to be a part of what God's doing and take advantage of what God has anointed and appointed you to do for this season?
Okay. Probably at the bottom of your screen, you'll see our website, shawmutchristianservices.com. And of course, you can call the number there as well to make an appointment with us. We meet, we charge, by the way, I don't know if I mentioned this, our fees are very reasonable. We charge for our sessions based on your annual income. Mm. We want to make sure that the counseling that we provide is affordable for everyone. So, you know, we don't want anybody to not come and hear what God has for them just because they don't have the funds. We want to be able to accommodate you.
Praise God.
So ShawmutChristianServices.com.
Amen. Pastor, thanks for sharing that. That's important for us to understand. And so definitely those of you that are close and within the region that you would take advantage and be a part and where their offices are there in Morgantown. And I know you'll be blessed, and so thank you for sharing that about your fee schedule. You know, that's important for people to understand. You know, that's what it is to have a calling to something where you know the call is greater than the income that we bring in or what we can make from it. And so praise God. Thank you for sharing that. Thanks for doing that. And so be blessed. Check out the website and give them a call, and I know you'll be blessed. Amen. Now, last week, we covered a good bit of ground, but one of the final things we were sharing about was you mentioned about the negative self-belief, and we started talking a little bit about the mind and what we think, what we have in our mind, and how those things become a belief. And it's interesting, and I've done some teachings about what we think, what we entertain, and how we create and how our thoughts do become a belief and a lifestyle and a behavior in our life. But I love the word says in Proverbs 23:7. It's what just came to mind, that as a man thinks in his heart, so he is, or so he becomes. And so it's important that we have the right mindset, that we think according to the Word of God, we hear what God has to say, and really hear what God has to say about me. You know, not that God has something to say about you, but it's not just to you, but it's for me on a personal level, and that it's not the Word of God for all the other good people. And not me, but it says, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is or so he becomes, that truly what we think and how we perceive, negativity or whatever it is, it's what we become. Is it not?
That is the truth. As a matter of fact, and that's a perfect scripture, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he, or he becomes. That was the entirety. Anybody who does a specific study of the Apostle Paul, everything about the Apostle Paul speaks to one statement, that who we are is about the way we think. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And I've done a whole sermon on that word, living sacrifice.
Yes.
Holy and acceptable God, which is your reasonable service. But verse 2, this is one of my favorite scriptures in terms of what we do in our office, and that is this. And do not be conformed to this world. Let me translate that in modern terms. Don't let yourself follow things according to the world's pattern.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Transformed
yes.
is changing from one substance to another. We are transformed by the renewing
yeah.
of our mind. Renewing the way we think. The Apostle Paul was speaking constantly on the subject of changing the way we think.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking about wrecking yourselves is a word that he uses a lot. Or putting on the mind of Christ. Whatever things are, Philippians chapter 4, whatever things are pure, whatever things are true, whatever things are praiseworthy. Think about these things. Paul is constantly encouraging us to think differently.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, and it's become my understanding that for most people in the church, our thinking is faulty.
Yes.
What's stinking thinking is
yeah.
a term I've
yeah,
heard
it's true.
One time, and is that we have the tendency to see things wrong, and that's because we equate wrong. Dr. Neil Anderson, in his book, Victory Over the Darkness, Realizing the Power of Your Identity in Christ, he made a statement once that was so true. He said, we accept the satanic equation, and that is simply this. We fail, which makes us believe we are failures, which only causes us to fail more.
Mm.
Our behavior follows our belief. And now that's important. Our behavior follows our belief. When we believe the Word of God, and when it's true, and when there's no doubt, when it's yes and amen inside of us, our behavior corresponds with that belief. If I think that I'm a failure, or if I think that I'm worthless, or if I think that I'm no good, or if I think that I'm going to die, my behavior is going to follow the course of my belief.
Yes.
Okay. So the Apostle Paul, the whole New Testament, particularly the writings of the Apostle Paul, are built around the idea, how can we realign ourselves to think what God says? You know, we have to open our hearts and realize that there's, and of course, from a therapist's perspective, people think the wrong things about themselves because of past wounds, and so
yes.
So what that does is that establishes lies inside of us. And if we have time today, there's a small testimony I'd like to share.
Sure.
My father, who was a godly man, and he was an attendee of the church that I pastored right up to the day he died. One of a very fruitful, helpful, encouraging member. But when I was a boy, sometimes I'm sure this is true of many of our listeners, as a boy, sometimes he could have a short fuse. And certain things that he would say when I was little is, I would agitate him in some way, and I'd get words like, you stupid little moron. Very angry words. And one of his favorite sayings was, you're dumber than a board fence. Now, I'm not particularly certain how intelligent a fence is, but apparently I was less intelligent than the fence. But he would say, you stupid little moron, you're dumber than a board fence. After my dad died, the church was thriving and flourishing. And I was at my father's grave a year after he passed. And I was weeping at his grave, and I was saying, Dad, I wish you were here. I wish you could see the wonderful things that God is doing. And the Lord speaks to me right there. And he says something to me about my thinking. He said these words, why are you sitting here? Still trying to gain the approval of a man who already approved. What was God doing there? He wasn't even so much trying to change my viewpoint of my dad. He was trying to show me See, I was still trying to get Dad's approval. I was still trying to get Dad to say I wasn't a stupid little moron. I needed that affirmation. What did that mean to me? There was a negative lie-based belief that I'm not smart enough. I'm not wise enough. I'm not intelligent enough to do it. And it was there at my dad's grave that the Lord began to speak to me about, I'm the one who put the thoughts in you. I'm the one that created you the way you are. And I want you to begin to own what I say about you. That was the beginning of a shift for me in perspective.
Amen. So much of what you said there, you know, when we deal with our thinking, there is in so many people the need of affirmation. We all need, there's some sort of affirmation that everyone, you know, uses and needs, but there is in many a deficit of that, where they'll even bring up on negative attention to receive affirmation, and it feeds into it. Talk to us about how that feeds into and it connects to our thinking, and that God really does want us to be whole. My definition of wholeness, you've probably heard me say, is nothing missing, nothing lacking, nothing broken. God wants us to operate and live and dwell in a place of wholeness, but when we have distorted thinking, it does affect our affirmation. We seek it in many ways. We'll see children act out or young children, and then as we become adults with that issue, can you speak to that a little bit?
Interestingly, you said that, how does that feed into us? And what you're describing right there is the core of what we call codependency.
Mm-hmm.
And in a nutshell, codependency is I am defining my value based on someone or something outside of myself. And we will do negative things. Those are control and manipulation tools, because what we want to do is we want to get someone to respond to us in a way that somehow lessens that negative self-belief pain. If I can somehow control that person's behavior to minister to something in here, minister is probably the wrong word. But if I can manipulate that person's behavior to speak to what I need, then I'll feel better for a season of time. But I'm not healed.
It satisfies that need. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly right. It satisfies it momentarily, but it doesn't heal it. It is a momentary relief at best. But let's think about that. That's what people do with drugs. That's what people do with alcohol. That's what people do with sex. That's what people do with television. That's, you know, we do what we need to do in order to satisfy our immediate need for pain. So some very often in relationships, they become negative, and they become controlling and manipulative, because what we're trying to do is to get that person, someone outside of ourselves, to speak to the need and to satisfy the momentary need or to lessen the momentary pain. This is why some people go from relationship to relationship. You know, if you look in the Word of God, when Jesus met the woman at the well,
mm-hmm.
he spoke to her to show her that there was nothing about her hidden. He says to her, "You're right. You've had five husbands, and the man you live with now is not your own." And Jesus wasn't trying to expose her sin as much as he was trying to say, "You're not hidden."
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not hidden to God, and then that's the thing. There's nothing about us that's hidden from God. What did Jesus speak to her? He didn't speak to her relationships. He spoke to her thirst.
Yeah.
This is important.
That's
because
good.
He said to her, "If you drink of the water which I give, you'll never thirst again." What was he trying to say to that woman? He was trying to say, you have a thirst inside of you that you've gone from relationship to relationship to relationship to relationship to try to solve, and it still hasn't satisfied your thirst. But if you drink what I've got, you'll never thirst again.
Yeah. Amen.
That's where we have to get to. I hope that answers
Amen.
Your question.
Amen. Yeah. This is good, you know, for any of us having a battle in our mind or affirmation issues or having that distortion. What I found, and one of the things that I personally struggle with is when you have in a relationship, whether it's your spouse or a close friend or family member, if you're the one that in your mind you're, we'll say, stable, for, you know, but you have a good thought patterns, you're thinking according to the Word of God, and you're confident in that and you're secure in that, but I, being a close friend, do not. when that happens in the husband and wife setting, it causes a lot of friction, because perhaps maybe the man sees vision for himself, the family, the children, you know, confident in that, sees the plan of God, but maybe the wife has to just beat herself up, can't think she's not good enough, constantly doing things to try to gain his approval, and you spoke to that. It can cause real issue when we are surrounded by people who, in our eyes, maybe seems like they have it together, but we feel like we're going down the drain. And I see that amongst a lot of believers. You know, when you look out into a congregation of people, what a mixture. You know, you see those who got it and that are victoriously and living that way. And then you see some that are struggling just to even hold their head up because they can barely look in the mirror and accept who they are. Mm-hmm. You know, I see a lot of that. But God's word is enough, just as it was enough for the woman at the well. Amen?
Yes, that is exactly right. Amen.
So, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and that is, when you talk about that kind of dynamic in relationships, it's important for the one that's hopefully more well-orbed and well-formed in your spiritual journey. It's important for them to recognize what's negative in their partner or the person that they're speaking with. I do that all the time. I find myself in relationships all the time, and I can readily see, based on their body language, their behavior, their mannerisms, the things that are hanging them up. And I don't sit in judgment of that.
Sure.
I just simply try to say, okay, Lord, I recognize what's going on here. How can I cooperate with you in bringing that person what they need? I've done that in my own relationship with my own spouse. I've done that in relationship with the people that I talk with on a daily basis. It's important for those who are more fully formed, for those who've walked a little bit farther in their journey, I should say, and have received some healing. It's important for us to realize that the reactions we get from people are based on something that's internal to them and not so much us. If I'm in conflict with somebody, or someone, I should say, is in conflict with me, what they're normally reacting to in that moment is something that's going on inside of them, that they're responding to my behavior. Mm. If there was no malicious intent, it's important for me to recognize that trigger that mm-hmm. I've got, and that way I can help them. But that sort of behavior, that sort of dysfunctional behavior, usually is the result of a dysfunctional mindset that's usually the result of a dysfunctional home. You have two parents in play, or should have two parents in play, and what you have is you have in your home an addictive personality. And so what emerges are four types of enablers in the home setting. And a lot of people who are in a dysfunctional home, what they have to do is they have to realign their whole life to accommodate the addictive personality. The addictive personality might have a problem with temper, might have a problem with chemical, they might have all kinds of problems. But the addictive personality creates an atmosphere that everybody else in the home has to adapt to.
Mm-hmm.
And so that begins to happen early on. And so there's four types of personalities. There's the hero, there's the lost child, there's the mascot, and there's the scapegoat. And each one of these have a specific individual. The hero emerges as somebody who's trying to save the day and fix all the problems for everybody in the home. The lost child is the one who thinks everything's my fault, and they become dark and reclusive and go inward. Then there's the mascot who tries to put on the clown face and make everybody in the home happy. And then there's a hero, lost child, mascot, and scapegoat. There's that one who says, okay, I'll take the blame, and they try to feel responsible for everything. These kind of personalities emerge. Well, as these personalities grow into adulthood, they do those same things in their relationship. They use those same dysfunctional mechanisms to adapt to relationships. So you take a girl who has never been loved by her father, or who felt like she was never loved. Maybe he didn't have the capacity. She goes up and she tries to exact those things from the man that she marries, holding him accountable, not consciously, but holding him accountable, her husband, accountable for the things that her dad missed. This is how the dynamics in relationship can somehow get very foggy and lost.
Amen. Well, there's so many directions we can go, but I really have two questions before our time's up on the program is, if in a relationship, you know, many that we're speaking with today have maybe a spouse or have at least some kind of relationship around them, that if there's someone who has a real affirmation issue, they recognize that there's a real place of need and they're trying to bring attention on, even if it's negative, can they do it alone? That's the first question. And then the other question is, how and what can they do today to start bringing real change? Putting the two together, can they do it alone? Is it better to have someone? Who do they go to? How do they get up out of that kind of thinking, behavior, to bring real change to their life so they can really see and enjoy the abundant life of Christ?
Okay. The answer to the first question, can they do it alone? Not likely. I won't say anything's impossible, but not likely. And here's the reason. We are subjective. We live subjectively. I'm in the middle of something. Let's say, for instance, as a word picture, you're standing on top of a mountain. I'm in the middle of the valley, and I have several courses I could go to find my way out, but I can't tell from my perspective where I need to go. Mm-hmm. You're standing on top, and you can see the road I need to take, and you holler to me, take the road right to your left or to the left there, because you have a perspective that I don't have.
Right.
Okay. So very often people in the midst of their pain or in the midst of their brokenness or in the midst of their dysfunction, they don't have a clear perspective. In answer to your question, it's rare that people can find their own way out. We need some help. Now, the second part of that question, what do we do? Well, I keep going back to that same statement. We've got to get honest with ourselves. Okay? We have to recognize that, you know, I've got a problem, or I am the problem sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And we have to be honest with ourselves. We are not human. We are not faultless. We are human beings. We have brokenness. We have inconsistencies. We have faulty thought patterns and stinking thinking. We have all of these things. And getting real with that. We don't want to get real with that for two reasons. Number one, we don't like to admit that we're imperfect. But we're not perfect.
Yeah.
The second thing we do is so much of that is involved. So much of that is bound up by shame or worthlessness. And we don't like owning those parts because they feel bad.
Yeah.
It feels bad to own a sense of worthlessness. It feels bad to own a sense of failure or rejection or abandonment or all of these negative things. But we can't get them healed until we own them.
Right.
I would say that to anybody in our listening audience today is that if you want to live a more victorious life, you have to get real and own the negative stuff you believe about yourself. And then you have to be able to go to someone and say, okay, I need someone to walk with me through this. I need someone to pray with me through this. And so I hope that answered your question. Is no, we can't really do it alone. And number two, we have to get real. But this is important. This is important. I can't stress this enough. The body of Christ has to come to the understanding we are all messed up.
Yeah.
Everybody's on the same playing field.
Yeah.
You're messed up differently than me.
Yeah, you
but
better believe
up.
It.
I'm messed up differently, yeah. But I'm messed up. We have to own that. The quicker we own that, the less judgmental everybody becomes.
Yeah.
The more accepting everyone becomes, and the more we can get down to the business of saying, okay, what do we do with our path now?
Right.
I want to own those negative things about me. Very often in relationship to my spouse, we'll have an argument. And what I'm finding out is my negative reaction to the argument is more about my stuff inside. And I'll look and say, I need to get alone for a little bit because I need to find out from the Lord why I'm reacting the way I am. I want to look at myself. I don't want to look at her. I don't want to point the fingers at her.
Right.
And look at me.
Right. Yeah, it's good. And I think it's important for everyone to understand that by admitting that, as you said earlier, that sometimes we are the problem, or by getting real, that is puts us in a place of liberty, freedom. That's not another negative thought. And some people think that by admitting that we're the problem, seeing that about ourselves, that's just adds to the negativity. No, and on the reverse, it's the first real step to victory, the first real step to a lifestyle change.
You can't fix something you won't accept. You can't solve a problem that you won't admit's there.
Yeah.
You know, it's just as simple as that. If you're driving down the road and you hear your every time you put on brakes, every time you touch the brakes, you're hearing this squeal. you're hearing something. You have to recognize there's a problem with your brakes to fix it.
Yeah. We can't conquer what we don't confront. We can't confront what we don't identify.
Exactly right.
And that's so important for us as believers. You know, again, it's been good, and I just know that many of you have received from this program that you understand that the Word of God is full of a life, and that we can attend church, we can stand and sing and pray, we can do all the things that the Word of God talks about, and yet we can still miss out on the real abundant life that God has for us, and the blessings and the overflow and the joy. And God wants you to have more than just happiness, friend. He wants you to experience the joy of the Lord. And that comes through everything that we've shared today and last week. And I know that you've been blessed, and I know that you've been ministered to. So, again, we want to encourage you to go to the Pastor Dave's website. Check out the ministry there, ShamaChristianServices.com. Check it out. See if it's something the Holy Spirit leads you to. And, again, that their pricing is based on your income. And so it's always something affordable to you. But we're out of time. Thank you, Pastor David, for being here again.
Thank you for the privilege.
Amen. Friends, we love you. We're praying for you as always. Until we see you next time, I pray the fire of God consumes your life. Bye-bye, friend.
By today's message. If you would like to know more about Fresh Fire Church, visit us at freshfirechurch.net or call us at 724-580-7027. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Visit us at 6497 National Pike, Briar Hill, Pennsylvania. Until next time, may the fire of God consume your life. We'll be right back.